Why don't we open our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Timothy 4:12. Maybe we could do this so we could read the verse all together, and maybe after we read it together, start back from the beginning, and maybe just phrase by phrase, if you and a couple next to you would like to stand up and exercise your spirit, amen, fan it into flame, and declare just a word or two or a little phrase, and we'll pray over this verse. So let's read it together first, and then anyone standing up in twos and threes. Go. Let no one despise your youth, but be a pattern to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Amen.
Let no one despise your youth.
No, amen.
Let no one despise your youth.
Amen.
Let no one despise your youth.
Amen.
Let no one despise your youth.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for my youth.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's, whoever has it, read that footnote for youth. Let's read it all together. Although Timothy was young, he was charged by the apostle to bear the responsibility for caring of the building up of a local church and appointing elders and deacons. For the carrying out of such a responsibility, he was charged not to be childish, but to be a pattern to the believers. Hallelujah. Young people can bear responsibility. Paul believed this. Timothy was charged with it. Now we're charging you all with it. Amen. As we're all bearing responsibility for the Lord, right? Well, of course, you're not bearing the responsibility of, appointing elders and deacons. But you must bear the responsibility of preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Shepherding your new ones.
Amen.
Even perfecting them, right? Yeah. And eventually that make them builders in the church life.
Amen.
Good. So, okay, well, we have kind of a shorter time today. So actually we're going to read a few portions. Let's read the title, not the fellowship, but right underneath the fellowship to college students, starting with Rising Up. Rising up to take in a good coordination with the church. Okay, let's try it again now that we have it. Go. Rising up to take the lead on campuses in a good coordination with the church. Good. Amen. So we need to rise up and take the lead on the campuses. The first section here says the Lord always using young people to do something new. Saints of the Lord, he always wants to do something new, right?
Amen.
And to do something new, because we're in a process of recovery, right? And surely this is one thing that's being recovered is the gospel being carried out by the young ones, right? And so the Lord, he always turned to new people. You read this, that's the testimony in the scriptures. I just read Exodus recently, and on the one hand, you might say Moses, oh, he was kind of old. But in the beginning of Exodus, there were the children of Israel, they're in slavery, and they're getting more and more work put on them. They're crying out to the Lord, right? They wanted to be saved from this situation. And there was the Lord up in heaven, and surely he wanted his people to be saved. But what did he do? He had to start with a baby Moses, right? he started with the very beginning. He didn't go to someone who was already there, an older one. He had to start perfecting this one from a very babe, right? And of course, eventually he was very useful. Samuel, right? He was there, and the Lord was calling him in the night. And eventually he responded. He didn't know what that was, and it was Eli, right, who said, respond to him. What was the response? Here I am, Lord. Here am I. Amen. Speak to me, Lord. Right, anyway, so then David also, he was just a little lowly shepherd boy, right? We sing some songs about him, but the Lord used him, Samuel, you know, to anoint him, and David, he was the king for God, brought in the age of the kingship, right? So anytime the Lord wants to do something new, he goes to young people, saints. Even when in the New Testament, on the one hand, there was, as Anna was there, what was she, fasting in the temple every night, every day, and praying. This is in Jerusalem there. But the Lord didn't go to this older, dear Saint Anna, right? But actually, he had to go to John the Baptist, right? And then the Lord Jesus, and who was also used at a young age, right? And eventually, who did the Lord go to? He went to these young fishermen right out on the sea. The Lord always goes to young people.
Amen.
Okay, so the Lord, that's the target. The Lord, why is that? Why does he go to young people? Paul, do you know why he goes to young people? Well, what's that? You probably know, actually. Young people, they're not occupied, right? They're not occupied. Do you hear that sigh from our dear young older brother? Yeah. Right, eventually you get older, you take care of a job, you have a family, you have maybe a mortgage, you might not even know what a mortgage is. So many things weighing on you, but you guys don't have that, right?
Yeah.
The young people, the Lord can do something new with them, John.
Yeah.
Amen. And not only with you, actually, even more so, he wants to use you to go to the young people.
Amen.
You're the best ones to contact young people. So let's read this one section. I wanted to have maybe how about this front row of brothers? Can you read the second paragraph? We need the young people. Nice, strong spirit, please.
We need the young people to go to the campuses.
Amen.
Especially those who are 18 and 19 years old.
Amen.
All the young people in the church life are
useful.
And this is why we have to work with our high schoolers.
Amen. Amen.
People over 25 have a more difficult time in contacting freshmen. They are not as useful and prevailing as the younger saints on the campus.
There is an open door
for the 18-year-old freshman to contact other freshmen.
Amen.
A person is
most effective
when he contacts a person
who is his same age.
Someone who is 18 may not easily talk with me because I am much older than he is.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We need all these young birds. Amen. The other young birds will come and flock to you, right? And you can talk together. If maybe you noticed some of the words in here, I wanted to highlight them. Of course, in the first sentence, especially the young people, especially those who are 18 and 19 years old. Wow. Can you believe the Lord's work in some way depends on the 18 and 19-year-olds? Wow. Wow. Amen. All the young people in the church life are useful. Amen. Even if you're 20 or 21, 22, right? But eventually, people over 25 have a more difficult time in contacting freshmen. Brother Ken, would you agree?
I would agree.
Yeah. You can do it, but they have a more difficult time, right? Not quite as, not so easy, right, Jason? We go and we're worried. I'm worried a little bit. Man, they might be looking at my balding spots here, right? You know, they call me sir. Wow, this isn't working out so well. Amen. Good. So, yes, you young people, you are useful and you can be prevailing. Amen. You're the most effective ones. So this is your charge. And well, let's read the next section. Let's read the next heading together. The campus work needing to be under the hands of the students. Amen. All right. So if you're under 25, lift up your hands here. Hallelujah. Amen. These hands need to be the ones the Lord uses on the campus. Amen. So the work needs to be under your hands. Actually, the point here is that the churches, we're burdened for the young people on the campuses. Many churches even have a way to support some full timers, right, to go on the campus, and even those who can't serve full time, they're burdened for the campus. There's many ones burdened for the campus, but actually, the work itself should be carried out under the hands of the young ones, right? The actual college students, even the full-timers, the ones, the brothers and sisters there, the older ones, their job is not to take the lead on the campus. Their job is just to support you all. They're just like the supporting braces, right? You can call up an older one, oh, saints, I've got this new one on campus, but I want to bring him to a home. And they'll say, come on over, right? They didn't take the lead, but they helped, right? Or you might call up an older one. I don't know how to bring this one. I've prayed for him. I've talked to him a couple times. He seems to be responding, but I don't know how to bring him to the next step. Well, then here you have someone who can help you, right? So that's the job of the older ones. But the younger ones, actually, the work, whatever campus you all are on, you're the full timers, right? You're on the campus full time. Right? So anyway, the work needs to be surely under y'all's hands. good. So now this is really, I'd say, the kind of the main burden for how the work will be carried out. So we're going to read this next heading together. There needing to be a nucleus on each campus. Amen. Lord, each campus. Amen. How about the row of sisters? Next row here, read the first paragraph. Good. Okay, so here's the church, here is the campus. And the church has a great burden, right? They realize that the Lord always works. He always raises up, does something new with the young people. Their burden, they know that's how the Lord works. They're one with the Lord, and they want to go to the young people. They want to be able to work among the young people to raise them up for the Lord. But they can't do a direct work of going to the campus. Can't happen. I put a little slash there. It doesn't work. Actually, Brother Lee, in all of his experience, his realization was, an experience was that actually the church, they can't go directly to the campus. What the church can do, and I think maybe you guys are experiencing this in many of the churches, you're on a campus and there's a church nearby, burdened for that campus, and you're there as young people who love the Lord. Well, the church might even be kind of working with you, fellowshipping with you to raise up a nucleus, yes. a nucleus, this kind of an indirect route, you might say, the church has to take in order to raise up a something on the campus. So the saints might be fellowshipping with you, praying with you, working with you, helping you to become a nucleus. We're going to read a little more what the nucleus is. So this is the unique way. That's what Brother Lee said. He said, there is no other way. Wow, no other way. So that's what the brothers and sisters are doing. They raise up a nucleus on the campus. Then the nucleus, that will be the way that the church can carry out a work on the campus. So let's read what the nucleus does. The next row, sisters, you could read the next paragraph. It is important. A little stronger, please. Amen. Amen. One by one. Amen. 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 Good. So probably most of you or many of you have heard of a nucleus before, or maybe some of you are even experiencing something of this, where the students on the campus, you come together with the other students, you come together with one another, not merely going to home meetings, not merely going Lord's Day, not just having a personal Bible reading schedule, but you come together with the other students on that campus. And what do you get? It says you meet with one another and you pray as a nucleus. And you're praying with one another. We're going to have some students about to come up. They're going to share a little bit some of their experience of this. You pray with one another. And as you're praying with one another, you're also seeking to bring. You know, you're there as a nucleus, but you're not just merely, oh, I want to be a self-surviving nucleus here. You know, that would be without this, right? Okay, we've got a nucleus. Hallelujah, we come together. We go to the meetings together. Maybe, oh, we eat lunch together. You know, we love one another. You know, we have some sort of a group life. But actually, there's something inside this nucleus. Hallelujah, there's something inside. And that is like what Falon shared last night. There's something burning. You know, actually, there's a desire. It's because it's God's desire. He wants to bear fruit through this nucleus. And even we ourselves, we may not realize it, but we do want to bear fruit, right? Actually, in this our joy is made full, right? And so you're praying together and you're seeking to bring others, especially maybe ones that you know, your classmates, your friends. And I like that phrase, even it says, you're seeking to bring those whom you know into the nucleus one by one. So actually, not merely are you saying, oh, okay, now we're going to do a gospel work on the campus. We're going to go and we're going to give out lots of flyers, give out lots of recovery versions. You know, you might do all that, but your goal is not just to do that, right? Just to get stuff out. Not even is it just to get people saved. But actually, your goal is to bring them into the nucleus. You're actually, as you're preaching the gospel, you're begetting. That's why, like somebody brought up in the last meeting, it's not so easy. Not only do you have to preach the gospel, but now you need to go back and you need to feed them, right? Maybe you're fellowshipping with your nucleus. Wow, we got someone saved. Oh, but how can we feed this one, right? That's why it's one by one. I don't know if a nucleus can take care of, you know, 10, 20, 30 people all at once, right? You need a lot of prayer for each one, a lot of consideration. How is this nucleus? How are we as students? How can we do this? It's not so easy, right, Joseph? You know, I fellowship with Joseph a lot. He's in Northwestern, Chicago, and he's so burdened. But it's not so easy to bring someone, right, to gain them after you've met them. You might even set up an appointment with that one. But, oh, how can we get this one all the way into the nucleus? Amen. And actually, in this way, if we have the nucleus and it's strengthened, it's developed, it's growing, it's organic, you know. And as it's growing, eventually, you know, this is made up of students, and some of you, students in the nucleus, you're going to graduate, right? You're going to graduate. Well, you should graduate, yeah. we always love it if you take an extra year or two, though, right? So But if all these ones graduate, you know, how is that nucleus going to sustain itself, right? It must be gaining ones off the campus, right? It must be growing. That, every organism, right, it's growing. It's bearing fruit. That's the normal process of an organism. So, good. So now we're going to have, is it good now? We're going to have some of the students from here in Champaign, UIUC. They're going to come up. Maybe you can come up all together, and then just one by one, they're just going to share little different angles of their experience entering into this nucleus. Amen.
As they share, listen for how the coordination with one another, the coordination with the full-timers, and the coordination with the community saints. You'll hear aspects of all of this in their sharing.
Amen. Amen.
So, should I introduce myself? My name is Alfred. I will be a junior at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'll just start sharing. Our students here have had some experience with this matter of the nucleus and taking the lead to carry out the Lord's work on this campus. This past semester, we started having a weekly prayer and coordination time with just the students and a couple full-timers. And this, at least in the 2 years that I've been here, this was the first time we've ever done this, where the students, you know, actively get together to pray about the Lord's work on this campus. And so we keep a prayer journal, and we pray for people, mostly people. And we have specific prayers for them. And then we log each time when we pray for them, the date. And then we also have a column where it says whether we mark whether or not the prayer was answered. And through this kind of consistent prayer, we've had many prayers answered.
Amen.
And like, our prayers were not anything like extreme or intense. Like, we didn't pray to the Lord like, "Oh Lord, save this sinner, baptize him, bring him to the meetings, bring him to full-time training, make him a full-time serving one and overcomer." And, you know, we didn't. It wasn't that extreme. We just prayed very simple, like wherever the need of that person was at, we would pray for him or her. Like, we would pray, "Oh, hopefully some students could come into contact with this one, bring him to a Bible study." And as the needs changed, we would pray accordingly. And so then when you take a step back and look at all that you've prayed for, all that we've prayed for, you see that the Lord has done a lot in this person. So getting together with our core group, getting together every Saturday evening to pray, really has had an effect on just the Lord's work on this campus. He has been able to gain many through our getting together to pray.
And I really appreciate my name is Agape, and I also go to the UIUC, and I'm a junior. I really enjoy that in the beginning of the year, we coordinated with the full-timers to read a portion on coming to the throne of grace. And in this book, it talks about two stages of prayer. First stage is the prayer of fellowship, and the second is the prayer of petition. So before we come together to ask the Lord for anything, we would enter into the fellowship of the Lord. We would touch this person. And I really enjoy how this book sets the tone for our prayer meetings in the future. Whenever we come with an exercised spirit and ready to touch the Lord through our prayer. And this is such a profitable time for me, too, because all the sisters, whenever there's a burden that we bring up, all the sisters would share that burden. We would share prayer actually issues in love for the contacts, so that we would go visit them. We would go text message them. We would ask them how they're doing. This is all through prayer. Without prayer, we would not be caring for the ones that we have burden for. Amen.
I just want to, my name is Dan, and I'm going to be a sophomore at
UIUC. And I just want to speak a little bit about experience that we've had this past semester. There's this one contact that we came in contact with. We were just distributing Bibles for our welcome week for our, the beginning of our winter semester. So we met him like sometime in January, and and he welcomingly, you know, was open and received the Bible from us, and he immediately wanted to, you know, get involved and attend a Bible study. So we would invite him, you know, to a Bible study and everything, and slowly, you know, build him in, you know, try to build him into, I guess, our nucleus, and try to get him to just, you know, come to more meetings and just, you know, see more life, you know. See more of Christ. And so what we would do in, during our student prayer times on Saturday nights every week, we would pray for this new contact. And I'm pretty sure ever since we met him, we prayed for him every single week. Wow. So all the way from January all the way through April, we prayed for him every week that he would just be connected with the saints, be more connected with the other students on the club, and be eventually, you know, be built up into the body of Christ. You know, coming to the Lord's table meetings and prophesying. I guess that's the ultimate goal. So it's not easy for us students, I guess, just to take care of a new one, because all of our lives we've never done that before. We've always had, you know, the older saints or the full-timers taking care of us. But this time we felt, I guess, obligated to take the initiative to take care of these new ones. So it's through, when I tried taking care of this new one, there were a lot of struggles, there were a lot of questions that he asked that I didn't know the answer to. So I would try to fellowship this with the full-timers, the community saints, and also the other students. We would bring up his name every week. Me, Matt, and Alfred, we would talk about him all the time, try to get him to come to more meetings. So we really had a burden for this new one. So there were times, you know, when me and Ken would have appointments and we would try to fellowship according, you know, how do we take care of this new one? You know, he has a lot of these questions, and, you know, how do we answer them? How do we build them in? Also with Billy, I would always get together with Billy, and we would always pray, you know, pray for Tony and pray for how we can take care of him, and how us, the students, how we can take care of him and not just, you know, put the burden on the full-timers and the community saints. So this was a wonderful experience. Initially, Tony would come to, you know, all of our meetings, and he was very exercised and enjoyed it so much. But there came a time where he got really busy and didn't meet with us as much. So we were just continued, you know, to steadfastly pray for him and to have him come to our meetings and for us to see him more. It was through the fellowship with the other students that are part of the nucleus, through the fellowship with the full-timers and fellowship with the community saints in our home meetings, that we can continue to just pray for this new one, the heaven eventually be built up into the body of Christ.
Amen. I appreciated one aspect of the nucleus. It says, within this nucleus, we should learn to love one another.
Amen.
And I learned early on that this love is not out of the natural man, because the natural... Yes, I'm Matt. Going to be a sophomore this year. Amen. So yeah, not a natural love, because natural love wears out. Yeah. And eventually we rub against each other and things happen. Praise the Lord. I appreciated the metaphor that we are many grains becoming one loaf.
Amen.
And the way for the many grains to be one loaf is for it to be ground down, to be the outer shell to be broken, and then we can be blent into one. Amen. And I just appreciated from John 15 that, you know, even the matter of bearing fruit is a matter of love. You know, we all know 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give you." And in verse 17 it says, "These things I command you, that you may love one another." Right? So we see that the aspect of loving and the aspect of bearing fruit, loving one another even, and the aspect of bearing fruit is very much related. Because, you know, I realize that I have, you know, too many people on my heart, but to be able to, you know, be a college student and to bear all these burdens by myself is just way too much. So I really, really need to you know, you have these companions, to have this nucleus where, you know, I can just open things up and they can come in and carry the burden, right? One time I brought a new one in and to a college meeting, and it was just so organic because, you know, everyone was, you know, just coming in, talking to them, saying, hey, how's it going? You know, what's your major and all that stuff. And they were just, you know, building, you know, watering him even, right? I like this. At the end of the second paragraph of there needing to be a nucleus on each campus, it says, you may say that it is not easy to bring your classmates to the Lord. This is surely true if you are separate from one another and behave as individuals. However, if you first form a nucleus and then bring people to that nucleus, it will be easy for you to bring your friends to the Lord and to the church. Yeah. I was enjoying the verse, 1 Corinthians 3:6. Let me just pull that up. Amen. I planted, this is Paul. Apollos watered, and God caused the growth.
Amen.
So we see that Paul planted, and God caused the growth. But there's also a third person, right? We need someone to water, and, you know, sometimes we plant, but then, you know, Dan over here can help me water, right? You know, just this one experience on, you know, taking care of Tony. You know, Dan had some things to do, and, like, we were at the table meeting, and, like, he had to go and take care of stuff, and Dan comes up to me and says, hey, can you take care of him real quick? I gotta go, bye. I was like, and the first response in my heart was not an amen, but, oh, Lord Jesus. I was just so encouraged that, you know, talking to Tony, he's such a genuine seeker. And I really started to have a burden for him, you know, even for Dan to even bring him in. So it really is a corporate effort. And I'm just so encouraged to have these two, Alfred and Dan, as my companions. Next year we'll be leaving at the Michigan house, and we will not be able to avoid each other. But praise the Lord, we are companions. We are pursuing the Lord, striving to walk by the mingled spirit, and aspiring to be overcomers. I'm so thankful for the Lord's sovereign arrangement. Amen.
I'm Tiffany. I'm going to be a junior here at UIUC. So this year, we actually started a sister's Bible study. And it all stemmed from one of my classmates that became my friend in one of my classes freshman year. And I just eventually grew to have a burden for her. So I think one night we were in the basement of one of the Community Saints' homes, and we're just like, hey, let's just start a Bible study. So I just asked a couple sisters. We worked out our schedule, and we're like, okay, let's just meet at this time this night. And we had the Bible study. So it actually began okay. We actually didn't coordinate. So there's some good and bad things. The bad thing is we didn't coordinate what we were going to go over before we actually had the Bible study. So our first Bible study, we got there, and we were like, what are we going to study? And one sister was like, I really want to go through Revelation. And we're like, no one objected, so we started going through Revelation. What we didn't realize is this wasn't a very good book for a new one to get into, because the first couple of weeks, we realized that they were just completely confused, didn't know what was going on, even though we had, like, RSG materials and everything, it just didn't work. So the sisters got together, we fellowshipped, and we prayed, and we realized, okay, we should go through the basic elements, because those would be good for the new ones to get into and for us to be able to shepherd them in an easier way. So we completely changed the topic, and we started going through the basic elements. And that actually helped a lot, because after we started going through that, another sister wanted to bring her friends in, her classmates that she had met, also to the Bible studies. So our Bible study kind of grew over the course of the year, and so we started having more new ones. And going through the basic elements, you know, really helped get to know them more on a spiritual level and also a personal level, because it was just sisters, and we were able to just kind of talk about whatever and, you know, go into deeper spiritual and personal things. So, it's just through the fellowship, through coordination, definitely, we had this good start of a Bible study, and hopefully we can continue with it throughout the course of the year and years.
Amen. Yeah.
Thank you, saints. Hallelujah. I think, you know, you saw there was, you know, the students were caring for one another. Also, students caring for new ones. They were praying together, coordinating on how to care for different ones. coordinating with the full-timers for the prayer time, how to carry it out, coordinating with community saints and how to care for ones, how to bring them to home meetings, shepherding one another. There's just a lot of coordination back and forth. And if you remember, notice the title of this, Raising Up to Take the Lead on Campuses and a Good Coordination with the Church. So it's not these students just going out on their own doing things. It's not the church being out there. It's not the church pushing the students. But it's the church shepherding, caring for the students, laboring with the students. And something that we keep realizing is, yes, we want the students to be the face of the work, but yet if we put too much on them, that affects their studies. So we really need to be before the Lord. How much do we, does the rest of the church is involved in shepherding and caring? Because obviously, the full-timers, we have appointments on the campus with our current students and with the new ones. And you saw the students have appointments with the new ones. So there's, we need to really have a, Lord, what's the balance? What's the balance that the work really is in the hands of the students, but yet in the yet there is the last statement on page 54. Actually, this last paragraph. Let's all read this paragraph together. As members of the body, you need to realize that as students, you need help, fellowship, and coordination from the church. The church's responsibility is to not to control the students' work. Rather, it is to do everything necessary to help the young brothers and sisters to carry out their work. If there is any experienced brothers and sisters who can render the students help, it is best the students refer their activities to him for help, fellowship, and coordination. And really, with our students, there's a lot of this going on. Back and forth between the community saints, between the full-time serving ones and the students, just in fellowship, how to care for their own personal life, their own spiritual life, how to care for the new ones that they're bringing in. Many aspects of this type, this coordination, and the Lord is building up a nucleus. He's in the process, and you saw this, the fact that it's also at the same time a messy kitchen. There's never a perfect coordination. It's a messy kitchen, but the messy kitchen produces tasty food. Hallelujah! So we shouldn't worry about the messy kitchen. We should realize that out of that messy kitchen is going to come tasty food. It's going to come ones that fruit that has been born into the church life. Hallelujah. And on the previous paragraph, on the previous page, the student work is for the body. And that's why it's so important for the students to realize that I'm in the body, I'm a member of the body, I need to see the church life, and realize that our labor on the campus, even though it's with a campus club and we're the ones who are taking the lead, the burden here is the one statement, our aim is to be that people should be saved, that they can become members of a nucleus. And that the purpose of that is to bear fruit for the church. The Lord ultimately wants Philadelphia. He ultimately wants a built-up group of people. And like Dion was saying earlier, the Lord wants young people to do that. The Lord needs young people. Young people change the age. Hallelujah! Every age that was changed by the young people. And we're on the course of the church, we are very close. Very, very close to the Lord's coming back. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Very close. And what the Lord needs is some age turners. Some young age turners taking the lead on their campus, burden for their friends, burden for their classmates, burden for the ones in their lab, burden for the ones they know from their high school that came to their college, that are burdened to speak the gospel. realizing that the church is there to support them. The church is there to help them. But this is what's going to bring the Lord back. The Lord is going to come back with a group of young people. Hallelujah. Next 20, 30, 40 years, the Lord is preparing to come back. Hallelujah. And you know, again and again in the fellowship, there's a sense the Lord can do it in this generation. This is the generation to bring the Lord back. Hallelujah! Amen, Max. Hallelujah! You're going to bring the Lord back. Hallelujah. So this is that generation. And so this matter of the exercise of the Spirit, you know, the matter of the proper morning revival, this matter of the exercise of the Spirit. One of the things we stress in our college meetings is, and in our prayer meetings with the students, is the exercise of the Spirit. The exercise and release of the Spirit in a clear and strong way. This is what one's like. This is when one's taste, come and taste the Lord, they realize, I want to be here. This is what I want. They want the enjoyment of Christ in the Spirit. So this is really the burden. That's why the previous session on the matter of our human spirit is so key. And then this matter of the God-ordained way, how to practice on the campus the God-ordained way so that there would be a nucleus built together, blended together, laboring together in coordination with the church to bring material for the building. See, the Lord needs material for the building. Hallelujah. So on one hand, we're the material. On the other hand, we need to go get more material. Yeah. The Lord needs more material for the building. That's why we're a nucleus. That's why the Lord is putting a nucleus together on the campus to pray together, coordinate together, labor with the church to gain material for the building. So this is the view. This is the Lord's burden today. So we want to stay on the Philadelphia line. Hallelujah! Amen. We don't want to be on any other line. We don't want to be in degradation. We want to be on the Philadelphia line in spirit. Amen. Loving the brothers. Loving one another. Loving the Lord. Calling on His name. Hallelujah. Amen. So who? I know there's some others who would like to have some fellowship along this line as well. There's a brother Patrick from Montreal. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Praise the Lord, saints. My name is Patrick. I'm actually from Vancouver. I'll be a super senior in the fall. I'd like to share my experience of the nucleus. So I first heard this word 4 years ago at the college training. And if you want to be serious with the Lord, you got to try this. It really works. So when we first heard this word, we went back to our campuses, a few brothers and I, and there were only four of us. We got together, and we just prayed. We prayed for new ones. We prayed for some of our classmates that were on our heart. And for one semester, the Lord didn't add any to our nucleus. We still remained the four of us. But the Lord is faithful. The next semester, the Lord began to put some names in our heart, and eventually new ones would be added one by one. And it was through the coordination with the full-timers, because we didn't know how to bring them to salvation. So we would call some full-timers to help seal the deal. And new ones would be saved. And really, this came through our enjoyment of Christ. The message a few days ago, we talked about fruit-bearing. And fruit-bearing, the genuine fruit-bearing issues from the overflow of life. So what we did in our time was simply we enjoyed the Lord. We sang hymns together, we prayed, and when this new one would come, we were considering, should we kind of water down our enjoyment, or should we continue? And we realized that what would attract the new one is simply our enjoyment of the Lord.
Amen.
So we continued to sing hymns and share our experiences. And eventually, this new one was brought into the same enjoyment.
Amen.
He would share his experiences from the hymns. And the nucleus, it's meant to add, right? And eventually, it will split. and nucleuses will grow, right? So we had new ones. We split into, like, the nucleuses are, like, the vital groups, right? So these vital groups are the building blocks of the body of Christ. And we would split and have different prayer companions pray together, and new ones would be added. And this went on in a very prevailing way, that even some new ones were brought into the church life, prophesying on the Lord's Day, prophesying more than me, and it was so wonderful. So I'd like to encourage you all to try this. Even if there aren't a lot of you on your campus, just get together, pray, enjoy the Lord, and the Lord is faithful. He will add to you new ones, and this is genuine fruit bearing.